When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now, back to Overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett, with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
Welcome back. Niners fall to the Rams 12-6. The Niners now 6-8, and it feels like their season is essentially over at this point. This was an ugly football game. No touchdowns for either team. The 49ers waste a great defensive performance. They waste an incredible first half from Dre Greenlaw, who returned from his Achilles tear that happened 8 months ago now. 10 months ago now in February in the Super Bowl, and the 49ers fall in their season now on the brink. They're 6-8, and it's gotten worse post-game because we have learned that Devondre Campbell has essentially quit on this football team. Kyle Shanahan speaking post-game saying that Devondre Campbell, essentially said he did not want to play in this football game once he was asked to fill in for Dre Greenlaw, who needed to sit out the majority of the second half because of some calf soreness and fatigue as he returns from that injury. Sterling, this was a disastrous night for the 49ers in a season that has already been disastrous enough.
It kind of sums it up, though, right? Like, 2024 has been a mess, and to end it like this, essentially on a mess of a player you signed to fill a void for the better half of a season, is like, nah, I'm not going to play anymore for you, and you lose the game, which, funny enough, we haven't talked about in the last 25 minutes, it feels like, but, I mean, this has been 2024 for San Francisco. It's just a mess. The team can't focus, the offense can't find a way to get into the end zone, Deebo Samuel is a shell of himself, Brock Purdy, who tonight said he failed the team, he did. Like, this team just really hasn't been great all year, and for Devondre Campbell, a player who also hasn't been great all year, to quit on the team, like, yeah, that is the 2024 San Francisco 49ers, and oddly enough, if Seattle loses on Sunday, there's still a chance, but just a crazy night. Like, to hear that a backup decides to quit is crazy. Like, this is not Vontae Davis retiring. He's refusing to play, and I'm sure he hopes to play again somewhere else next year. It's also a player in Devondre Campbell who told the entire world after he was let go by Green Bay last offseason that, like, someone's going to get a great football player. Well, I'm looking for him, and he didn't play this year for San Francisco, and they were looking for the player that was playing for San Francisco this year in the third quarter. He wasn't there either. So it's like, all righty, let's see where this thing leads.
Yeah. And George Kittle has spoken post-game. He says, quote, on the Devondre Campbell situation, if you're just joining us, Devondre Campbell refused to enter the game in the second half when Kyle Shanahan asked him to. George Kittle says, quote, it's very dumb, very stupid, very immature. I don't see how you can do that to your teammates. So you have, I mean, of course it's going to go this way. Every single other teammate on the 49ers is absolutely saying that everything that's going on with Devondre Campbell is absolutely terrible, and that's what the Niners. I mean, George Kittle last week called out the entire team for the lack of energy throughout the entire season. The team not playing with the right desire that they needed to, the right desperation. And then this is what happens. This is, as you're pointing out, Sterling, very, very indicative of what kind of has been the whole season for the 49ers.
Well, Kittle also added that, I've never been around anybody that's done that. I hope I'm never around anyone that does that again.
Wow. You know what this sounds like? This sounds like
he's
a teammate.
He's not welcome back in San Francisco.
This sounds
if
like a teammate.
Back in there, get out.
This sounds like a teammate. Sorry to jump on you there, Sterling. This sounds like a teammate, Kyle, that has been not well-liked in the locker room for a lot of this season, even before tonight.
Yeah, man. Maybe this is some galvanizing moment. I know the playoff hopes are 0.1%. I saw somebody did the list of the somebody.
Oh God!
Somebody did a list of the way they make it, and it's insane. Like it's ludicrous. That's why their chances are 0.1% to make the postseason. But we said this after the loss to Buffalo. It's like everything that happens the rest of this year, if they make the playoffs, okay, whatever. But everything that happens the rest of this year is about what does it mean for 2025 for me? Like that's kind of how this looks. And the fact that you've got Chevarius Ward who is like, yeah, that guy's going to get cut. That's sucker stuff. And you've got George Kittle being like, I hope I'm never around a player like that again. That's not something you do to your teammates. Da, 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 da. Like that shows at least to me this locker room is in the right space mentally.
Yeah.
And that's a really big deal for a team that's 6-8 that had Super Bowl hopes when the season began. So, like, trying to zoom out and catch the 30,000-foot view of this, the fact that the 49ers are responding in this way makes me feel really good about where they're at for going into next year. And ideally, the 49ers, when they're making their acquisitions this offseason, whether it's in free agency or through the draft, are really hammering down to make sure that whatever players they bring in are here to row the same direction and are here for the betterment of the team and the program, and not here because it was an opportunity to start, and when they don't get to start anymore, they're going to take their ball and go home. That's whack. That yeah. sucks. So I love that George Kittle has this response. I love that Chevarius Ward had this response. I'm sure we're going to get more such responses trickling out as the days go by here. Good riddance, Devondre Campbell. He was one of the reasons that the defense was so bad this year.
Yeah.
Congrats.
No doubt.
Good legacy.
888-957-9570. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Fozzie's been hanging out. Fozzie from the East Bay. What's up, Fozzie? You're on Overtime with Mark Randy, Kyle Madsen, and Sterling Bennett. What do you got?
Yeah, what's up, boys? Real quick, man, just to touch on that Devondre Campbell thing, man. Yeah, it sounds like none of the guys really liked him before. And for me, as a fan, he would look like the worst starter on the team. So, yeah, good riddance. And that last drive to stop the Rams on that third down where essentially Stafford hits their tight end to ice the game, mm-hmm. I was mad at the time, but now that makes a lot more sense because they looked completely unprepared and that tight end was uncovered. Mm-hmm. And now we know that, you know, we had a backup linebacker there, and it looked like Hufanga was playing linebacker there for a second, but we'll probably find out more about that tomorrow or whatever. But, the reason for my call was because of Debo. You know, I love Debo. A lot of great memories for him, and it just sucks to see him on the decline. And now he's got to eat this huge, big old piece of humble pie and possibly eating that on the way out the door. And for the fans to be booing him like that, man, I don't want us doing that to a great player, man. So, man, you know, as much as he was a great player for us, man, Debo, you got to eat what you said on Twitter yesterday. You know, them Twitter fingers that got you in trouble with the fans, and now you come out here and lay an egg. You got to reap what you sow, and you're probably out the door next year. Cheers, boys.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Fozzie. Yeah, it's hard for me to swallow the way that the Debo experience has gone this year. I know, Kyle, you feel like the boos are deserved, and I know every Niner fan there who booed felt that way, and I don't disagree with you necessarily. but there's just so much emotion, you know, that I feel with Deebo Samuel, and for the vast majority of those emotions, they're positive. Like, Deebo Samuel has been amazing for this football team, and it's hard for me to forget about all of that. But when he goes out on Twitter and he makes a much-needed win about him, and he goes out saying he hasn't been getting touches when he has indeed been getting touches, it's just simply not him doing as much with those touches as he has in the past. And then you follow that up with, for some reason, Kyle Shanahan feeling like he has to force-feed Deebo Samuel. It still doesn't work. He then drops one of the most important plays of the game that turns the game around, and you lose and your season is over as a result. I don't blame any fans for feeling the need to boo Deebo Samuel in that moment, but I also don't blame a fan like Fozzie who feels like Deebo Samuel doesn't deserve those boos because of everything he's done up to that point as a member of the 49ers.
I'll grapple with my feelings about Deebo Samuel's career I'll cross that bridge when we get to it. I'm pissed. Like, you're gonna, I don't get mad when a player doesn't perform well. That happens. Especially when you're Deebo Samuel and you had so many carries and receptions and you play as hard as he does. Might be dealing with an injury thing. Like, it's okay. Not playing well is the thing. But when you go out on Twitter and you make it about you and you make it about your opportunities, and he says he wasn't throwing his teammates under the bus, it's like, well, that's about Kyle Shanahan or Brock Purdy. You're throwing somebody under the bus because you're absolving yourself of blame here. And I think that stinks. And to go out and I went, all right, well, maybe he comes out and he balls out tonight and proves everybody wrong. Would love to see that. Nope, proved everybody absolutely correct. So I'm with you, Mark. This doesn't, for me, like, tarnish his legacy or whatever with the 49ers, but I'll figure out how I feel about Deebo Samuel long term down the road. Right now, it feels like he needs to not be wearing a Niner uniform anymore. That's where I see it right now.
Or at least take the C off his chest, because that's a problem to me. If you're gonna be the one that walks up to Jake Moody and Tabor Pepper and puts hands on your teammate and wants to keep them accountable. And wants to say, hey, you're screwing up. Pick it up. Tighten it up. Lock in Jake Moody. And yeah, Jake Moody needed to lock in. He was not great against Tampa Bay. But for you to do that with a C on your chest, and then later, in the biggest win of the year against Chicago last week, you didn't play great. To make it about yourself, to blame the head coach, to blame the quarterback, to say, hey, you're not giving me the ball enough. When in fact, you are the least effective player on the offense, and you get the ball more than everybody else still does, not named Jordan Mason. To make that about yourself, and then to walk out there tonight knowing that you are banking on yourself to perform like you did in 2021, to play like the all-pro you used to be, and you lay an egg, you lay a stinker. In fact, you can argue it was worse than an egg, because the plays you didn't make cost San Francisco even more than the plays you did make. And so you leave the game, and the fans are booing you, rightfully so. You made it about yourself, you brought it on yourself, and when you ask yourself and bank on yourself to perform, you were a no-show. What does that mean? Mm. That is exactly who Deebo Samuel is at this point in time. He's a front runner. It's all talk. There's no big hits. There's no lowering your shoulder and running through cornerbacks and safeties. It is a one hit, and he's down. 2 yards and he's down. It's blame somebody.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase.
Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Nobody else for my problems. Look in the mirror, man. Like, I get it. The offensive line hasn't been great this year at certain times on screen passes. Guys don't get out fast enough. You get hit early. I get that. But when you look at what you've done this year with the touches you've been given, and in fact, the touches you really have not earned this year, it is insane to think that you had any right to go on social media and ask for more of them. And it's even worse to say that, oh, well, I didn't play great tonight, and then put on a performance like this. You dropped the biggest play of the game. He should apologize to us and his team. Like what? I get it. We all love Debo. There is a fan like Fozzie in every single one of us that loves Debo Samuel. But right now in 2024, I don't want to be that fan. I'm angry. Like Kyle, I'm upset because he's supposed to be better than this. Someone has to keep Debo accountable for his terrible play. And no one has thus far, and he's blaming other people. I don't want a player like that on my team. I'm sorry. I just don't.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, if you got the Debo Samuel from 2021 or, hell, even a couple of years ago or 2019 when he was a rookie, like,
all those
Debos are miles better than the Debo we've seen so far this year, and that very easily could have been the difference in the Niners winning or losing this football game.
Since yelling at Jake Moody, by the way, and punching Tabor Pepper in the throat, Debo Samuel, 26 targets, 14 catches, 101 yards, 8 carries for 15 yards in 5 games.
It's not great.
Yuck. Yeah.
Not great. In fact, that is actually very, very, very bad over the course of five football games.
Yep.
Yes, very much so. 888-957-9570 is the number to call. It's also the Comcast Business text line. Up next is Roshan, who's in Vegas. Roshan, what's up? You're on overtime. It's Grandy Kyle Sterling with you. How you doing, Roshan?
Doing good, guys. How you doing? I don't even know where to start. Basically, I'm just going to kind of sum it up with, like, the previous callers. You know, Debo, he's basically tried to reinvent himself this season, you know, changing the number, coming in, losing weight in camp and everything, but he hasn't come back with that same fire. He hasn't shown that he needs to be the main focus of this offense, because after we lost CMC, you know, they keep trying to run back to Debo, go back to the well, and he's not producing. They refuse to give Kittle the same type of attention that teams like Kansas City gives Kelce. You know, Kelce may not have the numbers as Kittle right now, but he's a winner. He's helping his team produce wins. And you know, back to Purdy, he, you know, everybody said he was a system quarterback. Last year, that kind of didn't prove that, but it's starting to look like that. He's a system quarterback, and our system is failing. Shanahan is not who he used to be. He can't get into his bag, as people like to say. He's running out of scheme. He's running out of trick plays. And wins like last week, everybody got happy, and I was happy too, but I knew it was against the Bears. You know, we look good against a bunch of practice dummies, but against a team that's fighting for their playoff hopes and a chance to go to the Super Bowl, our true colors show. But I think it's time to just roll it up, let everybody, you know, kind of get healed up, Greenlaw, Bosa, and Purdy, because Purdy doesn't look right. His arm is definitely suspect. That last pass where he got picked off, there was no oomph under it. And you know, he shouldn't have gone that deep. There's plenty of passes that could have been made, but, you know, he went that route, and that cost us the game. You know, and then at the end, they're trying to play scramble drill, and there was no time left.
Yeah.
There's no time left.
Yeah, Roschon, I mean, at that point, the game's over, and you lost it on that interception. And Roschon is right about that interception by Brock Purdy. Oddly enough, that might be something, obviously, that was more detrimental to losing or winning this game in that moment. Honestly, that throw in that moment might be less of a concern for me of Brock Purdy's, but of some of the other ones, because Purdy generally is like a good decision maker. That's just a moment where there was a terrible decision that he made. But when we talk about the restrictions of Brock Purdy as a quarterback, I mean, it's the deep ball that he hasn't been able to hit this year. It was the Ricky Pearsall throw just before that interception to Juwan Jennings. Ricky Pearsall runs right past the DB, has a walk-in touchdown if Brock Purdy leads him. It's underthrown, nearly picked off as a result. Earlier, Kyle, you pointed this one out. It was a throw over the middle to Deebo Samuel. I believe it was on the 2nd and 20 after the George Kittle penalty, which set the Niners back, and it kind of ruined that drive. Deebo had a step, and if you lofted over the top of the defender, you put enough air under it, Deebo Samuel makes that catch. Who knows, maybe he breaks it and it's a 70-yard touchdown or whatever it would have been. And both of those throws were pretty severely underthrown, and those are things when you are leading an offense that is down again to, you know, your fourth string running back and you don't have your star left tackle, and in the future you're going to be making X amount of money and it's going to hamper what you can put around him. Those are the throws that your quarterback has to make, and Brock Purdy too often this year is just not making those throws.
Yeah, especially in money time, man. Like, the throws have to be better. The decision-making, Sterling, you pointed this out earlier, and I was watching it again at one of the breaks. The interception to Jennings, there's not a quarterback in the league that's fitting that throw in. There's a defensive back behind him. There's another one in front of him. There's another safety coming over from across the field. Like, there was no window there. So it's the decision making. The decision making from Purdy all year has been really suspect. He's indecisive. He's bouncing around in the pocket. He's like jumping in the pocket today.
That was weird.
Just super odd. I don't know if it's the caller mentioned the scheme stuff with Shanahan, how it's just old and it's played out. And I do think that they need to make some pretty wholesale offensive changes. But a lot of what their offense is predicated on is like being able to move defenders with Christian McCaffrey and being able to move defenders and manipulate defenders with Deebo Samuel. And when McCaffrey's not on the field and Deebo Samuel's not the threat that he used to be, defenses aren't going to react the same way. And that's what the 49ers offense is built around, is defenses reacting a certain way to certain things, and the 49ers just don't have the dudes to operate in the offense that they've built. And Mark, you asked Greg Cosell this, I believe, on Willard and Dibbs when you were filling in, and he basically said, like, you can't make wholesale offensive changes midseason. You can't make fundamental changes to what the foundation of your offense is while you're also trying to prepare to play an opponent. So that's what I'm looking for this offseason. Whatever has caused Brock Purdy to suddenly be this indecisive quarterback who refuses to take a check down, whatever it is that's wrong with the Deebo Samuel stuff, scrap it all. Like, ground zero, there's new personnel. The Niners offense needs to look different this year. Needs to look different next year, because whatever the heck this was, tonight wasn't a one-off. Tonight was the accumulation of a season of yuck for me.
Which is so weird, because they played almost a perfect game against the Bears, who are a better defense than the Rams. I get there's NFC West, division games are always tougher than the other ones, and the Bears' offense isn't great, and they're in turmoil, and they change their head coach and whatnot. I totally get that. But Shanahan called a perfect game against the Bears.
He did.
And Brock was almost perfect against Chicago's defense. And there were still a few throws he missed, that one to Pearsall, a deep downfield, similar to tonight. I get it. There was probably a little more miscommunication on that play, but this one wasn't tonight. This one was a pure, I just missed him. And I don't know if it's the shoulder for Brock. He just looks uncomfortable, and he has all year long, and we tried to justify it early in the year. Well, there's no Christian McCaffrey. Well, Debo's not playing well. Well, Brandon Ayuk didn't have the offseason. Okay, those things still exist. Those are factors in maybe his down play this year. That's fine. But it can't be the reason for it, right? It can't be the reason why you're not making throws. Like, he missed a wide open Deebo Samuel tonight that flew in the middle of the field where nobody else was. Like, when you're lofting throws, like, the ball tonight was just lofted in the air, rainbows, which Brock doesn't have the best arm. But then when you know you don't have the best arm, when you know it's wet, you don't play great in the rain, and you want to take deep shots downfield, you're 0 for 7, like Mark said, on throws 20-plus yards downfield, then stop trying them. Like, I get it, you can't just outright stop, but, like, overall, like, don't be afraid to take your checkdowns. They're going to give you a free 7 yards. Take it. That's what made Jimmy Garoppolo so effective in San Francisco. It's what made Brock so effective last year. Check down, check down, check down. Then it opened things up. Boom, big play. And so, yes, changes have to be made. But for Brock, I get it. There's a weight on his shoulders. We don't understand, right? He has no idea. Like, we have no idea what's happening in that building. I mean, players are quitting. So who knows what's happening inside Niners HQ, but it just feels like he has not settled in at all this year. And you hope he can bounce back, but now you're having conversations like we've had tonight about who is Brock Purdy. And I'm not sure San Francisco knows, which really bothers me too.
Yeah, for sure. 888-957-9570. Let's sneak in one more call before we take a quick break. Dom has been waiting in San Francisco. Dom, what's up? You're on Overtime on 95.7 The Game. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I'm just curious about the 49ers. The offense could have played more better than this, you know what I mean? They could have played more better. The defense was good, I give credit to, but the offense just got to improve more next year, you know. The offense got to improve.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, Dom, absolutely. I mean, today was, I mean, it's the worst offensive performance we've seen in the Kyle Shanahan era. One of the worst offensive games we've seen in the Kyle Shanahan era, period. Maybe
it was the worst.
If you look at it, at least from like 2019 on, when the team was actually a good football team, no doubt. I mean, they were absolutely terrible tonight all game long.
It was, I don't know. You can look at a million different metrics and determine a thing is good or bad, but just eye test.
And considering what was on the line and
stakes.
Yep.
Available players, because I know, I'm sure there were worse offensive games in 2017 and 2018. Those were some not awesome teams. But this was heinous. You scored 6 points with the season on the line?
Against a Rams defense that is not very good.
Against a Rams defense that had 42 points hung on it last week. You scored
on
6?
A short week.
Zero touchdowns?
86 rushing yards allowed the last 3 weeks on average.
Not one, and you didn't score one touchdown?
You had, what was the rushing
totals? Didn't even get close? Didn't even get into the red zone?
63 rushing yards, 3.3 a pop on the ground for the Niners today.
And
not good.
That was with a 15-yard carry in there.
Yeah.
Like they didn't even, one way to solve the red zone scoring, just don't go to the red zone. Yeah, sure.
Can't like, get that's any worse, what, I guess.
This is so damaging, dude. This was really, really bad. To in this spot lay that big of an egg, the Kyle Shanahan stuff is not going to get any quieter after that.
Absolutely, no doubt. Sterling, we got to take, or you have a quick update for us?
Very small thing.
Yeah.
Billy Garoppolo, Jimmy Garoppolo's brother, put on Instagram, offensive guru, two laughing emojis regarding Kyle Shanahan. So the hits keep coming. Former quarterback's brothers are hating on Kyle Shanahan tonight.
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo got a win at Levi's tonight. That's
in his return.
In case you forgot, okay. Jimmy Garoppolo is the backup quarterback for the Rams. So
yeah, he's the backup quarterback for the Rams because he stinks. And Kyle Shanahan made him a lot of money. Get Jimmy Garoppolo and his brother the hell out of here.
Yeah, well said. All right, time for a break. When we come back, more of your calls. Caleb, I know you've been patient. Travis, I see you as well. Dylan and Richard, we're coming to you. There's a lot of you on hold. We're with you all night long. If you stay patient, we will get to. We're coming to you next. 888-957-9570. It's Overtime on 95.7 The Game. Grandy, Kyle, Sterling, more next on 95.7 The Game.
Here's Moody, a 47-yarder to give the 49ers the lead, and Jake Moody is able to bang that one through. 8:23 remaining in the third.
Now back to Overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
Yeah, that's Jake Moody field goal from 47 yards out. That was the play that immediately followed the Deebo Samuel drop on 3rd and 10, which at the very least would have put the 49ers in the red zone. It might have gone all the way for a touchdown, and who knows, that might have impacted the end and in the final score of this football game. But the pain does not end there for the Niners, because as we learned post-game, Kyle Shanahan telling the media that Devondre Campbell essentially quit on this football team tonight. Devondre Campbell, who has been the team's starting linebacker alongside Fred Warner essentially all season until tonight, did not want to play in the second half of this game once Dre Greenlaw went down, and Niners teammates have in unison all voiced their displeasure, to put it kindly, with what Devondre Campbell did. We told you what George Kittle said. He has never been around someone like that and never wants to be around someone like that again. Mooney Ward called it sucker stuff. And D'Amador Lenore has taken to Twitter and he has tweeted this: "I call you brothers. Deeper than the surface, blood makes us related. Loyalty makes us family. I'll never quit on my brother no matter what happens. I'm cut from a different cloth. It can be 50 versus 1. I'm standing on all 10. Not difficult to find out that's about Devondre Campbell. So D'Amador Lenore, George Kittle, Mooney Ward. I'm sure we will hear from Fred Warner and a number of other 49ers. Brock Purdy addressed it post-game. We'll hear from Brock in a little bit about it. Every single Niners player, and more importantly, every single Niners leader, and D'Amador Lenore, by the way, quickly becoming one of the leaders on this team, absolutely railing against what Devondre Campbell did today, and for good reason. He quit on this football team when they desperately needed him in the second half.
Kind of feels like the Niners are going to go win by like 30 next week.
In like Miami?
The way no, for sure. But the way everybody's responding to this Devondre Campbell thing is fascinating to me, because this is not a locker room that is all of a sudden like, man, season's about over. Let's try and just get healthy and rest up and get ready for next year. Like, you know, what are you going to do? Like, this is a locker room that's angry because this dude quit. Like, I know it doesn't really matter, but to me, the fact they're all galvanizing around this thing makes me think that the 49ers aren't going to lose out here. I think this is having a very real impact on mindsets in the 49ers locker room. At least that's how it seems.
Well, it shows they're connected in some form or fashion, that despite how bad the year's been, despite how bad Brock played tonight and Debo played tonight, and how bad the injuries have been, what, 43 games missed by Pro Bowlers this year, the most by any team in football? Despite all those things that have happened, despite being 6-8 and losing 12-6 tonight, they quickly have come together and said, nope, we're not going to stand for that. We are connected and unified for what seems to fight the first time all year. Like, the message has simply been, we don't play with that. You want to quit? Fine, quit. We're here. I'm going to play. Even if we are 1-16, I'm going to still duke things out the brothers next to me, and we're going to go out there and fight till the end. And, you know, Devondre Campbell, man, like, Ricky Pearsall got shot. Mooney Ward lost a child. And they both came back. And you have the audacity to tell the teammates that you played with for 13 games, the team that gave you a contract when nobody else wanted to, I quit? Like, how do you think the rest of the league feels about that now? Like, he's not, like, I would not be shocked if he never plays another snap. There's
I'd
no
be shocked if he did.
Oh, right. Sorry, yes. He'll never play again, is how I'll put that. Like, there's no grace period. There is no, well, let him justify it. No. Like, done. Goodbye. At 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, he better be cut.
Yeah.
Like, there is no hearing him out. People lost children this year and came back for this team. And you can't because you didn't get your way? It's pitiful. It's childish.
Yeah, absolutely. Very well said. Agree 100% with everything that you laid out there. We will hear from Kyle Shanahan and others on it. But essentially, again, Javondre Campbell refused to enter this game in the second half when the Niners needed him to, because Dre Greenlaw went down with an injury, and there were a couple of other Niner linebackers who filled in, and they also were not playing at 100%, and in an ideal world, Javondre Campbell would have been in there multiple times throughout the second half. Okay, as promised, back out to the phone lines as overtime continues. The Niners fall to the Rams 12-6. Niners season is all but over. Postseason chances are much closer to zero than they are to 1%. This feels cooked for the 49ers, and we're reacting with you all night long here on Overtime. Up next is Caleb in Livermore. Caleb, what's up? You're on Overtime. It's Grandy, Kyle, and Sterling with you. How you doing, Caleb?
I'm doing good, guys. How you doing?
You know, we're hanging in there after another rough Niners day. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm just, that Javondre Campbell stuff is hilarious, man.
Wild.
Crazy. But just two things, man. So if you guys had to sum up the Niners season in one word, what would it be? And the second one, when you look at this Niners roster, a lot of the high-priced guys, who would you keep and who would you move on moving forward? That's what I got for you guys. Have a good night, man.
Good question, Caleb. First of all, Niners season in one word. I mean, this is an easy one. I'll just go disappointing, because the expectations were so high, and now you're looking at being the worst team in your own division. Disappointing for so many reasons, because you had so many games earlier in the year that you had big leads in the second half, and you couldn't hold them. Disappointing is the word I'll use, although that feels kind of soft. It's been a lot worse than just disappointing this year.
Yeah, I think that hits the right note, though. Because there's abominable, heinous, abysmal works. Dreary, I think, kind of works. But disappointing hits the right note, because it's I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. there was all the injury stuff, but which makes it really hard to be like, oh, I'm so angry, because if they're healthy all year, this team looks a lot different. I think you saw that tonight. You saw glimpses of it tonight.
Yeah.
Just their defense with Hufanga and Greenlaw in there is like, oh my gosh, these guys are not playing at 100%, and look at how much of a difference they're making. But you go to the penalties, the special teams mistakes, the turnovers, the regression from Brock Purdy, just like, eh. The way Debo Samuels played, it's like, yeah, this is pretty disappointing. I think disappointing is the word I would land on.
It's certainly a good one. I think I'll land on mismanaged. And the reason why I say that is because I think the offseason was mismanaged. I think who they brought in, obviously Javondre Campbell being one of them, after tonight. But I think just the way they mismanaged how to fix the offense during the year, and I get you can't make wholesale changes, but not being able to pivot, not being able to survive without Christian McCaffrey or Debo Samuel when he's playing poorly, not being able to have a first-round pick in Ricky Pearsall and not get him involved in the offense, that's you're mismanaging the offense to me. And on defense, you have Nick Sorensen, a guy that wasn't your first choice either, saying, here's the job, and do what you can. That's mismanagement to me. You missed your first choice. You missed your second choice. Okay, here's your third choice. And he struggles for the most part, but in the biggest game of the year, they do well. And I think that Nick Sorensen's kind of locked in the job maybe for next year. Time will tell the next 3 weeks or so. But he's given himself a chance to keep his job at least. But I would say they've mismanaged this year. They mismanaged, I think, Christian McCaffrey snaps. Jordan Mason wasn't getting on the field much after that. Brock, the errant throws and the shoulder injury. This whole year just feels mismanaged for me.
Yeah.
Do you know the sensation I have felt this year? You know when you guys played baseball growing up, yeah?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You know when you're really excited to play and then you wake up and you see it's cloudy?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah. Oh man, it's going to rain.
Those 9 a.m. tournament weekends.
Yeah, dude, exactly. You're putting your uniform on, and you put on a sock, and you look, and you're like, is it raining? Oh, no. Dang it.
It's kind of humid outside.
Yeah, ugh. And you can just feel my day's about to get ruined.
Oh, yeah.
That's what this has felt like since week three. They smoked that game against the Rams, and it was I don't like the direction this is heading. And then, okay, they beat New England. Oh, hey, is it clearing up a little bit? Oh, and then you blow a big lead to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
It's oh no, that's a raindrop. And that's just kind of how it, that's the sensation I have felt about the 49ers all year. Like, I've so badly wanted to get excited. I've so badly looked for reasons to be excited. I've so badly looked for that break in the clouds where the sun is coming through and, oh, it was just overcast. And no, it's raining. It's pouring. Game's canceled. We're not getting this one in today, boys.
Yeah, I haven't thought of it that way, but now that you bring it up, that does, it does feel right. And you to get that pit in your stomach because you were so looking forward to,
yeah,
you know, being able to run the bases and have a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
And, but now you don't even have that opportunity. To answer our caller's other question, which was high-priced veterans that may be on their way out, this is an interesting conversation, and it's going to fill so much time this offseason on 95.7 The Game and Niners talkers everywhere. I mean, the first name that pops to mind for me is Deebo Samuel, but the Deebo Samuel conversation is a little more difficult when it comes to the money, because if you just straight up cut him, what is it, the pre-June or July 2nd?
June 1. Pre-June 1.
June 1st. Pre-June 1st, the cap hit, or the dead cap hit, is so much higher than if you wait. And the reason why you'd want to wait, of course, is to save money. But the reason why you'd want to do it earlier is to be able to capitalize and sign free agents on money that you save. So that kind of makes it awkward in terms of how you handle the Deebo Samuel contract, because if you cut him before June 1st, you still have to pay out a big portion of that counts against you. If you wait, you don't owe as much. That makes it difficult. Oddly enough, I thought earlier in the season Talanoa Hufanga was going to be gone,
yeah,
but the way that he's played, I mean, they might re-sign him and have him be the starting safety alongside Malik Mustafa. And Jair Brown stays as a backup, and then when he's up for a contract, they don't re-sign him. And then another one that comes to mind, and this is not necessarily due to poor play, although he has not been great this year, it's Mooney Ward. I don't think there's space for him on this team in the future either, and you feel terrible for what's happened to him personally this year. But Renardo Green and Diamador Lenore seem relatively locked in for consistent roles on this team. I'm not so sure there's room for Mooney Ward. So the two veteran names I'd keep an eye on, Mooney Ward and Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, Treverius Ward's a free agent. They just might not be able to afford him.
Yep.
I think you'll have a market that probably goes north of what they can or are willing to afford. The wrench in all this is Brock Purdy, because that's why it's been like, hey, you got to clear the decks. You've got $65 million coming in. And now it's looking like, yeah, hey, maybe that's closer to like 40. Maybe the structure of that deal is a little different. But no, I'm with you. I think Deebo as a post-June 1 cut makes sense, because if you cut him pre-June 1, and again, we'll get into the machinations of all this later, but they don't save any money if they cut him before June 1. They're just eating those dollars for nothing with no savings. Javon Hargrave, they just restructured his deal, so it's a lot it's cheaper to cut him after a post-June 1. So that's a name I'm keeping an eye on. But yeah, Hufanga, Ward and Dre Greenlaw are the really interesting ones, because they've all had absences this year for different reasons. The latter two, Greenlaw and Hufanga have had major injury issues here with the ACL and the Achilles and the wrist, and their free agent market's going to be really fascinating, because if they're affordable, I don't see why the Niners wouldn't retain both of them.
Yeah.
I've been thinking Hufanga's gone because he's going to be too expensive. Same thing with Dre Greenlaw. But as far as like cuts, I think it's Hargrave and Samuel are the two that you can circle and go, those guys are logically the ones who are out the door, either pre or post June 1.
Deebo Samuel is really interesting, because if they move off of him post June 1st, then you're not getting draft pick compensation this year. Mm-hmm. Like, you're essentially giving him away for free or trading him for a 2026 draft pick, if a team even wants to do that. I would honestly talk to him and say, hey, Kyle, you took a pay cut. You aren't the same player. Do the same thing. If you say no, they have been open to moving off of him for 2 years in a row now. Like, they were rumored to trade him during the draft this past year. It was either Deebo or Brandon Ayuk, and they kept both. And I get why they did that. It makes sense. Maximize this year. But they can't save $17 million in 2025 and 2026 if they cut Deebo post June 1st. So there can be some money savings, just not really, you know, a lot in 1 year. But as Kyle pointed out, it all kind of relies on Brock Purdy. How much money do you give him? You can keep Javon Hargrave if Brock Purdy's not getting $65 million a year.
Exactly.
Which Hargrave, before he got hurt, was doing pretty well. And you tell me next year you have, whether it's Leonard Floyd or somebody else, and Ichiro Matos is back, and Bosa's there, and maybe Greenlaw's back, and Ufunga's back, and Hargrave's involved in the middle, and Malik Collins is still there. Like, I don't hate that defense at all. I'm like, sure. Okay, run it back. Like, you gave up 12 points tonight. Like, the momentum is building for the defense, and I'm starting to believe in them more, and I have for the most part of the season outside of third downs and in the red zone. But I think Debo Samuel's kind of the big one you ask, and you're just like, hey, like, you're not the same player you once were. We can realistically save money by letting you go. Take a pay cut, or you're gone. You are a detriment to this team currently. Like, you are actively hurting this team on social media and on the field. So pick one. You want to stay, you want to go. I think San Francisco, they got to narrow down Brock Purdy first, though. Like, that is the biggest, like, what if, and it changes the entire offseason of what they can and cannot do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And to be ultra clear on the Brock Purdy conversation, the Niners don't have to do anything with Brock Purdy this offseason. Right. Now, they need to figure out what their plan is, but their plan could be ultimately do nothing this offseason, push it off for another year, hell, maybe push it off for two more years, because they could do nothing this offseason, force Brock to play without a new deal on the last year of his rookie deal, and then franchise tag him in not this coming offseason, but the following offseason, and then go and do the following year and try to work out a new deal with him. That is a realistic timeline. Niners generally do not like to do that, but they are entering a time where maybe they have to be a little more ruthless than they have been in the past. So we will see how that all plays out, but you're right. The Brock Purdy decision, even if it is just we're going to decide next year, that decision has to be made before you do anything else. Let's go back out to the phone lines, 888-957-9570. Travis has been waiting patiently. He was at the game. Travis, I hope the traffic isn't too bad leaving Santa Clara. How you doing, Travis? Welcome.
What's up, boys? I'm doing horrible, personally. I hope you all are doing well. It was wet.
Man,
it's cold.
Sorry, Travis.
I'm at a McDonald's now in Union City. No, it's okay. It's just football. Look, guys, I could probably talk you into the break. I got a couple of things. Let's throw some positivity. Two shout-outs top of mind. Jake Moody, 2 for 2, way to bounce back. He also did not have a penalty on the kickoff. Good job, Jake. I think, personally, you should consider taking the gin out of his mouth. Yeah. So, take the gin out of your mouth, because I think it's making him a bit wobbly. He's a littler guy. And then shout-out to Dre Greenlaw. What a comeback. It sucks that I'm glad he's okay. I don't know if there's like an update on his injury, fatigue, and calf tightness. Good. Sit. It's fine. Okay. I wanted to talk about the offense. That's why I called in for. The game plan was atrocious. I'm not going to beat the dead horse here. Like, the whole first half, like, obsessive over Debo, weird. Bizarre game plan. A lot of our offense, I feel, in Brock, is predicated on getting into a rhythm, getting going. You can't do that when we're trying to force feed our new Debo receiver, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing that I do want to kind of flag or just bring up, and I would love your take on it, this fan base and the way we treat quarterbacks, I just don't understand. I'm 30 years old, so I miss Joe. My memory of Steve Young was the concussion he got that ultimately ended his career. Jeff Garcia, a little bit too young to really appreciate, and then some dark days, right? And then Alex Smith, Cap, Jimmy, and now Brock. No matter what he does, it's just not good enough. Yes, he was not good tonight. I'm not going to defend that. Not good. The bad decision is Jennings, but he's obviously hurt. People are calling it saying he's hurt. You know, we're talking about the roast. Shoulders are right. The elbows are right. Why is the heat not on Lynch and Shanahan for putting our alleged franchise quarterback behind Jake Brendel, Colton McKivitt? I'm not going to hate on Trent Lipinello, but he has not been great this year, right? He's hurt. He's banged up. He looks jittery because he has no time. He's flushed out. He's ran more than ever this year. The O-line play this year has been atrocious. He's missing Ayuk. He's missing weapons. If you put anyone behind this line in this scheme this year, I don't know if it were that much better. The problem's bigger than Brock. The problem's guys like Debo. You check. All these dudes who are making all this cash and not living up to it. That's all I got, guys. I hope you guys have a terrific holiday. God bless. Thank you for taking my call. I'm going to go give us McDonald's. I jumped out of a car in the drive-thru to take this call so there's not back noise. So y'all have a great night. Thank you very much.
Appreciate that, Travis. And really, really thankful for you trying to be a little bit positive, bring a little bit of positivity here. It only lasted for so long, and then you started talking about Brock and the offensive line. To Travis's point, I mean, he's flat out correct, and I think this is what you were talking about, Sterling, when talking about the one word to sum up this Niners season, and you said mismanaged. It was the lack of attention paid to the trenches on both sides of the football. And we could talk about the offensive line. Kyle, what do you think?
Well, I have a hard time saying that's mismanagement, and this is nitpicky. This is semantics. That's an organizational philosophy. They've proudly espoused that Kyle Shanahan has on the TK show and Odyssey podcast, and on and Chris Forster, the offensive line coach and running game coordinator, basically said, like, yeah, you can piece together an offensive line. You just need starters on the offensive line. What we care about is the guys who are going to score the touchdowns. Like, we want those guys. And I think that I get it, but that's also silly.
That because just feels like a misallocation of resources, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially when you already had George Kittle and you already had Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel. Like, okay, now you can, now you can invest in the offensive line. Like, that's now you can do that. I don't that's such a weird thing that they've continued, and what that has gotten them is Trey Sermon, Ty Davis Price, Danny Gray, Isaac Arendo, who wasn't playing up until two other players got hurt first.
Ronnie Bell, who's been dropped, cut.
Ronnie Bell, right?
Thankfully,
I'm a little less nitpicky on the seventh round picks, but like these mid round picks, Cameron Latu's a great, you picked a kicker, 99th. Like, these are all picks that could have gone to the offensive line because I to the caller's point. The Chiefs' offensive line hasn't been great. Their tackles are kind of a mess, but on the interior they're very good. And you look at what the Lions have built. The Lions are gangsters because they can push around everybody on the offensive front. They're going to line it up and they're going to run it, and there's nothing you can do about it. Sorry, like here comes 5-6 yards of carry, and in the red zone they're going to run it three times. They're going to score a touchdown, and that's just how it's going to go.
And if it's fourth and two, they're going to run it and pick up 3 yards.
Yeah, man. Yep. Like,
not in the playoffs though, baby.
Well, they tried to throw it on fourth down in the playoffs.
Thank you, Josh Reynolds. Thank you.
but yeah. So that's where I would like to see to Sterling's earlier point and to that caller's point. That's something I'd like to see the 49ers change this offseason.
Yeah,
is just wholesale investment. In the trenches, you've got Juwan Jennings, you've got another year of George Kittle. Your running back room is going to be freaking loaded. Like, take a break from the mid round running backs and the mid round receivers, and hit me with some offensive linemen, and maybe you find a couple of starters in there, and maybe you make life a little easier on your quarterback. But I think both things are true.
Yeah.
And I think offensive line isn't great, but Purdy wasn't great tonight.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think maybe to make it fit Sterling's mismanaged word, maybe Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch and company might not view the lack of resources, you know, spent on the offensive line. They wouldn't necessarily view that as mismanagement because that's their philosophy. But I think us three can all agree that is mismanagement. Like, that was just absolutely the wrong decision for the Niners to go into this season with Jake Brendel as your starting center, Colton McKivitz as your starting right tackle, and hell, maybe even Aaron Banks as your starting left guard. Like, it has not been great across the board for the 49ers on the offensive line. Okay, time for a break. We got plenty more time for your calls. We got a lot more to get into. The Niners fall to the Rams tonight, 12-6. Their season is essentially over, and Devondre Campbell quit on the team in the second half, refused to go on the field. Any at all thoughts? Welcome. 888-957-9570. Dylan and Eli, we're coming to you next as overtime continues. It's Mark Randy, Kyle Madsen, Sterling Bennett. More next on 95.7 The Game.